Good morning. Good morning. It is 8:05. It is Tuesday, September 13th. I want to welcome everybody to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee special meeting. Calling this to order. We have no guests this morning. Is that correct?
Correct.
We need to do approval by participation of electronic means. Is there a motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Dave, welcome to the meeting.
Thank you, sir. Good day to you.
Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes. So you should have received one that has 11 items on it. We had one that originally went out. Peggy, I think she had some additional.
This one has 10.
Okay, it has 10. I'm sorry, that's correct. It's 10. We want to add one item.
Okay.
Mine has it on there, but we need to add an item to approve the minutes from the previous meeting, September 6th.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we'll do that immediately after 4. No, we'll do that after 5.
Yep. And you also have items for executive director position search, business manager position search, interim staffing plan.
Yes.
Okay. Because we're doing this weekly, we had to post an agenda, so we made some modifications to that agenda. Sent you the updated one, just so everyone wants to make sure on the same agenda.
Okay. Are there any public comments? Nothing's been received.
No.
Okay. Approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
I'll move them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, minutes are approved. The old number 6, executive director position search update.
We have executed the contract and we have made the required initial payment, but that's as far as we've gotten. So I think by the point we need to identify what the next steps are, what the role of staff is going to be, and how you'd like to proceed.
They're going to start a series of interviews. They Opus with the staff and the board. They will gather their information and start their search process. I think the next major item on that is just for us to lean in to Opus and find out what is their anticipated timeline. And I don't know that there's too much that we can do in advance of that furtherance. Do you see that differently?
No, I just didn't know. You want me to take the lead? Or are you taking the lead with Opus?
So let's have that conversation. How do we believe that the board wants to operate in this interface with Opus?
I would personally believe that they would work directly with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no problem doing that.
Yeah.
I would think that's the best route.
Yeah.
Okay.
On our circuit.
I will continue that dialogue.
And so is the intent of the interviews to establish the job description?
As I've understood from Katie Dean, they want to, in order to fully establish the job description, they want to understand LCRDA and Innovation Park, Northport Innovation Labs, through the eyes of the people who've been most closely involved. So my sense is the answer to your question is yes, but I also would be interested to hear further from, what is it that they see as the best process in preparing to do the job search? So
I would probably also think that they're trying to make sure that there's some consistency in what we are saying, so that as they're talking to candidates will want to get a, what is the board, the governance, what the current staff, former staff, So that there's guidance there, because I would suspect and know that if you're for profit, that they want to make sure that there's a match, mm-hmm. you know, when you get there, is to get that intel. Yeah.
And I do think there's going to have to be some involvement from Bill or Ron.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know? And Katie and I had that conversation earlier in our discussions about, because this is ultimately replacing your role, she was asking, do we want to include Ron in this? And I said, I think so. I asked her what her counsel is. She said, I absolutely believe that's appropriate. So, I mean, I think everybody sees it the same way. And right now they're going to be in their information gathering stage.
Okay.
Good. Any other thoughts on that?
And we had no idea of the timeline for when they will start looking at real candidates.
Well, I don't have any further definition. The critical path was getting that document signed and the first payment submitted, and all that has been done. So I'll follow back with
you. Yeah, I think the payment actually released via ACH yesterday.
Okay.
So they should have it coming today.
Okay. Good. Any further questions or comments on number six? Item number seven, business manager position update.
Well, we followed the direction from last week, which was to, as agreed with Dave, that we would not accept either of the candidates we had interviewed. We took the post down. We're going to wait a few days and then put it back up so that it goes back to the top.
Okay.
Really not a whole lot else to report there. I did, you know, even though this isn't quite this on this point, but I wanted to bring up, you did see my email this morning that we did terminate Kata as of last Tuesday. I think that's something that's going to factor into the staffing plan we're going to look at, I guess, next. But just so you know that.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Dave, you're recognized.
I had requested that we tweak the offering on the business manager plan to supplement it with a little more information relative to the financial responsibilities of the position. I think it was Bill Lickerson who had offered or had presented a document that I thought better incorporated some of the expectations of the position, and asked that that be reviewed and supplemented or added to or replaced with the offering sheet that we had previously used.
Dave, I'll follow up with you exactly what you were talking about there. Bill and I aren't quite sure what you were referring to, but we can do that offline.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, just as a comment related to what Ron just shared with the group, I would go on record in saying that I think it's going to be very important that we look at that position. We have had quite a bit of staff going in and out in that role, and just really kind of looking further defining it or assisting, weighing in and having some conversation on.
For the marketing.
Yeah. In short order, in a sense that there have been multiple people.
I absolutely agree with that, and we're going to be talking about something in a minute that is going to tie back into this conversation pretty tight.
Okay.
Just to make sure that we have this on the record, and this goes back to the executive director search update. Dave, you also asked that we look for a 3-year provision in the agreement with Opus as opposed to the 2-year provision. We did that. They made that adjustment, and so your request was incorporated into the final document with the search firm.
Good. Thank you. That was the piece that said they could not contact whoever they placed in our organization to perhaps entice them to go somewhere else for now a 3-year period.
Correct. It was a 2-year off limit. Now it's a 3-year off limit.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And I apologize for not mentioning that earlier. Okay. So any other comments on item number 7? Oh, all right. Go ahead.
For 7, that's done just locally. Is that correct? Are we on Indeed and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. So it gets a broader. Okay.
But we are focused locally. We're not sure. Looking to relocate anyone.
Well, I get it. So can somebody might be relocating.
That's what I'm finding. Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, a lot of people say, yeah, willing to relocate anywhere.
And they want.
They want you to help them.
Yeah.
So item number 8 is the interim staffing plan. And I think that this is going to be the springboard for the biggest part of our conversation. I'm assuming that based on where I think that this part of the discussion goes, that item number 8, interim staffing plan, will consume anything that I would want to bring forward under new business, which really ties back to some of the conversation that we started last week. Bill brought forward some information and challenged the executive committee and by extension, the full board to be thinking about a plan. From that conversation, my comment was, because of our structure, we're limited in how quickly we can bring planning concepts forward. We're held to a process of the open meetings and sunshine and so forth. Part of that was, I said that it was my expectation that I and others on the board are thinking about the plan. And so today's conversation, as the extension, is to start talking about what people are thinking and perceiving and ideas that we have in order to step forward. I have a couple ideas that I would like to introduce this morning, and it will be part of the discussion of the interim staffing plan. Before I go too much further, I want to hand it back over to Ron. Can you bring us through anything that you have prepared?
Yeah, so what we sent out was basically Bill's concept of how do we handle this short period of time, hopefully, to make sure that we keep all the balls in the air while trying to find some permanent staff. And so what you have is just that. It's just a proposal of some thoughts that Bill had, and I obviously had some conversation with him. So we can kind of step through that, and I'll let Bill defer to Bill to talk about it in more detail. But this is just what kind of what he had in mind.
Okay.
For the short term.
Bill?
Let me share the screen so Dave can see it.
Yep. Yeah, I want to thank you for your time and attention in the last meeting. And indulging me to change up my communication style a little bit to bring some things to your attention. I think I did that. I want to let you know that I'm enthusiastic and optimistic and do not view this opportunity and where we are as a Titanic metaphor. We're going to move onward and upward. So, Ron, if you'll go to the next slide. This is sort of the structure, and I apologize, there are a couple of typos here. In this case, we didn't work in crayons, but we worked in color coding. And Peggy, her valuable service to the organization will continue as a part-time asset, although the color code indicates that she's full-time.
Oh, yeah.
So the plan is to appoint the director of North Florida Innovation Labs as interim so that we can move forward on the transactional pieces and parts that we need to with respect to the current contracts and obligations we have, including the decision making related to the facility that we're making on a week-to-week basis. The second concept is to repost what we have posted, and Dr. Moore, your comments are appreciated, for the marketing and outreach person and structure that as an executive admin and a marketing coordinator function. And this will allow us to accelerate the process of working with outsourced resource. I think the challenge that we've had historically is that there have not been a match in the skill sets that we require with the candidates that we've had. And in my experience, it is easier and more predictable to utilize contract resources for many of these deliverables, and the parsed out subject matter expertise you need in a situational case, whether it's creating a website or a brochure or those kinds of things. Critical to this plan, and I'm happy to say he's considering it, is Ron Miller's continuation as a part-time employee. We've talked about how that would look logistically, what he would do, in addition to handing off his current responsibilities. I view this plan as our ability to survive and thrive, moving through this handful of objectives that we've identified, meaning move the project along, get the 30,000 square feet marketed and leased. And then with Ron's continuation, the plan is to harness the business intelligence and reduce it to standard operating procedures and checklists and evolve that because some of that has begun. And then create a system of dual fault tolerance, meaning that we have cross-trained at least two people on each of the critical functions. And one of the situations we're in now is single fault tolerance. So, you know, the metaphor is Ron gets hit by a bus, which we hope he doesn't do, we lose a lot of business intelligence and functionality. Ron has agreed, should we move forward with this plan, to provide up to one day a week in services. He would not come to the office, nor would that be required. We would utilize virtual ability to collaborate, including screenshots. Part of that will be plugging and playing assets that I have worked with historically to support that initiative. And you'll see on the line below Ron, in the green would be continuing resources that we currently utilize. The concept is to expand Talcor's responsibilities. They're currently under contract to do not only property management, but they're handling our accounting and bookkeeping. Because of Ron's specific expertise, he perhaps is assisting in areas for which they could assist us through this transition. And part of his continuing engagement would be to delineate and take a look at those things in a granular function to make sure that they're happening in the way that's most efficient and that can set the table for the new business manager and new executive director.
Can I weigh in on that just a minute, Bill? Sure. A couple things. One, as it relates to Talcor, a lot of these duties have evolved over time, and you know, new GASB requirements, you know, for the audit, things like that. But I had to transition, and I've never moved it back to Talcor. So it shouldn't be a major ordeal for them to pick some of these things up. But from a time standpoint, for whoever comes in, I think it would be helpful for them to be able to do that. As it relates to, and I'm going to go ahead and jump back over here.
Yeah, sure.
This is just a thought. You know, obviously, you know, it's a starting point for consideration. And just so you know, this is not what I want. I really would like to, you know, to stop. This is just what I think I can do to help, you know, help us get there, because it is taking some time to, you know, to get people in here, and I realize it's going to be impossible to just stop. So this is all obviously open for discussion, but I just wanted to kind of put that out there as a starting point.
And I view as his consideration of that as a critical success factor. So I'm appreciative of his consideration and the board's consideration of that framework. On the marketing side, we will and have re-engaged Denise. Denise never really stopped doing work for us. So she worked through the time period in which we had a full-time employee as well. So
she did stop from when she originally stopped, but when we engaged her back prior to Kasia.
Yes.
And she's continued through that process.
And what's the arrangement with her?
She's $60 an hour. So,
but how available? I mean, she got a full time job.
She has a job. She's finishing her MBA at Creighton. So, part of the utilization of contract resource is to have multiple resources that we can plug and play based upon availability. We've also contracted a web development company to do the microsite for North Florida Innovation Labs and create two brochures, one for the Collins expansion and the second for North Florida Innovation Labs.
And much of this expense has been covered by grants, ARPA grants.
That's right. Yeah. We've had the funding, and now we're accelerating the deployment of these resources.
Particularly for marketing.
Right, exactly. And on the other, on the darker color there, in terms of financial administration, grant administration, and IT and program support, I reached out to an IT firm that we're interviewing and that is working with several companies locally. I've interacted with the company through an executive roundtable and know their clients. This would be taking a look at our overall security situation, networking, et cetera, and then providing contractual support for not only the infrastructure, but the specific machines employees are using, and other IT needs that we have that Ron has sort of filled in because of his developed expertise. That will become a bit more nuanced over time, particularly as we roll into the IT infrastructure for the new lab. I think long-term, that is an asset that we contract with rather than employ.
And who is that company that you've reached to?
His name is Brian. It's a local company. He's working with Sam Barn and awards to you. He's got a good roster of diverse clients in town. Ron and I are meeting with him next week. They're going to come in, make sure it passes Ron's inspection. They're going to look at the facility itself, take a look at our machines, our cluster, that kind of thing.
Is that agility?
I don't know.
It's three letters. I can't remember the name of this company. Yeah. If there are other vendors, we're taking a look at him because he comes highly recommended. We'll look at others as well, make a comparison. And also go through the appropriate procurement process. On the financial administration and the grant administration, these are also contract assets that we'll plug in based upon working with folks, both in the marketplace, our grant writer, and assets that I utilized at Domi that are reliable, affordable, and are plug and play.
A question there, Bill. I thought we already had in place contract services for grant writer or grant administrator or whatever. Tell me how this position differs from what I thought we already had in place.
It would be an expansion, meaning that we'll still continue to write grants. In fact, we're in that process now, both with that contractor and without her. And as we move forward, will have an increased load on the reporting side that we've not had historically. So both for the building project and in planning for success, assuming that we receive other grants. And again, last week, we got another positive indication from the EDA with the grant that we expect to hear about in the next 30 days that would begin funding in November. So it is an incremental investment in the required reporting that we have for the current grants with the ability to scale with newer grants that either we expect to receive or that we've applied for.
And Dave, the grant writer that we've engaged currently is doing just that, writing new grants. She may be able to do the administrative function, but that may not be the most cost-effective way to go about it. I think it's less expensive to go get someone who is just doing the administration piece, which is making sure that we comply with the grant requirements, doing the appropriate reporting, getting reimbursed accordingly, you know, all of those steps, which is a more administrative task than grant writing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so this box would actually include a grant writer position under there, in addition to the grant administrator, both of them being, well, neither one of them reporting to the other, I guess.
That's correct. Well, there may be some coordination, but I did not include the current grant writer in this diagram.
Yeah, and I can detail any of this that we need to. Part of when I was executive director at Dome Station, we created a pretty sophisticated reporting mechanism that took different data sources and consolidated it into reports through a variety of things, including Google Visual Data Studio. One of the contractors we're utilizing assisted along with the FSU Consulting Group on that project. We evolved it for Domi. And I got permission several months ago from Domi's board of directors to utilize that tool for our reporting purposes as well. So we'll evolve that tool because there are different data inputs based upon the funding requirements of each of the grants. So the building has a set of metrics that we're required to report on for 9 years. And should we receive the other EDA programmatic grant, that has additional reporting metrics that we'll have to report on for 3 years. So that may be a little too far down the rabbit hole, but this too is a way to quickly get this competency covered and delivered as required by the funders.
Another question, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Assuming that we quickly engage a business manager, which of these boxes would go away, if any?
I think we would, that would depend on the candidate and our successful translation of the business intelligence standard operating procedures checklist, because we will want to cross-train that person with each of the pieces and parts. So I would say that we'll shut down the financial administrator part of that and then other parts depending on that person's individual skill sets. The other block that you'll notice there is a new block, and that's for government relations, advocacy, lobbying, and that's a consideration. I think if we're going to invest in that, this is the time to consider that. We have significant needs. The state not invested other than through the universities, which has been significant. I think this is a good opportunity to chase those dollars. And in my opinion, a professional firm, in addition to staff, will increase the probability of success. This would be, again, the whole concept here is to take the overall investment in the budget and redeploy it in a way that allows us to achieve our objectives and set the table for the new executive director, new business manager, and move forward.
So I'm going to jump in for a minute because thank you. I agree that these are all areas and disciplines inside of our organization that we absolutely need to we need oversight, we need implementation, we need to be future focused. I want to unpack another part of a conversation that we started last week, which was I challenged the board and the executive committee specifically to be thinking about some ideas. I want to use your outline as the platform. We can go ahead and take this down so that Dave is visually in front of us again. Very quick context. LCRDA was created over 40 years ago, 43 years ago. At the time, it was created because the state of Florida, through statute, created authorities, and authorities had the ability to put together the research parks. The authority worked with primarily, and I'm piecing this together, and so this is anecdotal and this is not specific, but primarily with FSU to receive land that previously was university land, use that as the lion's share of the land that is LCRDA. There were other contributions. I believe FAM made a contribution. I believe the city of Tallahassee made a contribution, but it's an assemblage. The tool that was used to create Innovation Park was the tool that existed, which was the authority model that was created under statute. That is a bit of an archaic tool. It's problematic, in my opinion, because of all of the things that we understand about, Bill, you pointed at something last week in a frustration that absolutely needs to be reckoned with by this board. The public meeting process slows the wheels of progress.
Absolutely.
That's not a fault of the board. That's the structure that we're under. Since that time, 40 something years ago, other tools have been established through statute, one of which is P3s. There's a P3 statute, and at the university level, there are P3 guidelines. The reason a P3 structure is more conducive, I believe, is that through a procurement process, you reach out into the private sector with a description of what needs to be accomplished, and then you delegate that authority over to that private sector firm to then work in partnership with the governing body to implement the plan. The P3 private sector developer, operator, consultant, whomever it is, has much greater flexibility and doesn't. One of the challenges that we face is that because of our authority structure, we in many respects operate as an oversight of what is for 80-90% of your job is a property management function. And because of that, we haven't allowed our staff to be able to run fast and hard, chasing the primary reason that the authority was created, which was ultimately research and economic development. Now, the universities do a phenomenal job on the research side, But we've been, I feel like for 40 something years, we've been shackled a bit on being able to truly chase and create economic development. Dan Foss is a shining example of how tech transfer is supposed to happen, and North Florida Innovation Labs can be the catalyst for the economic development. But we're still under what I believe is the archaic set of rules of the authority. And so I think that that is something that we need to fix. Okay, I'm going to put a pin in that, and I'm going to come back to it. I started thinking about how do you address some of the things that Bill's talking about in terms of the interim staffing. And there's a gentleman in town that I believe fits the profile of what LCRDA and Innovation Park needs in order to work in complement to Bill as director of the North Florida Innovation Lab, but as in an interim capacity as the executive director of LCRDA, a gentleman named Michael Kramer. Michael is a unique skill set. We are fortunate that he is local in our community. I've worked with him extensively on the other Leon County Authority. Michael is a turnaround guy. He has a unique skill set and an ability to analyze, assess, distill, and then bring back functional solutions. This has been his career. Now, the other authority that I speak of is the Leon County Educational Finance or Facilities Authority, which, if you're familiar with Heritage Grove and Southgate, two separate assets underneath that one authority. Heritage Grove, from my real estate perspective, is the most complicated, challenging failure of a project that could possibly have existed. It's worthy of case study. And I don't say that lightly. I just know the complexity of this. The authority brought Michael in an interim role. He was able to work with the authority to chart a new direction. He has just an incredible, unique ability to do this. And I, because of my personal experience with him and because of his experience in the Leon County Authority world, and because of other ventures that he has done, I would highly recommend that our board look to Michael and see if we can negotiate a deal for him to be an interim executive director. I approached him the other day. In that, and I certainly didn't overpromise, because there's this process that we need to collectively understand where we're at, where we need to head. But I said, if this were to mature, I said, Michael, it could be a 30-day assignment. It could be a year-long assignment. This is not a 3-year, it's not a 5-year, it's not a permanent. That fits well inside of what he does, because again, he is a turnaround person. I have with me copies of his resume, and I've sent this to Peggy so that Peggy can send it to you, Dave.
Okay.
I don't know if I haven't asked here in this room. So because Michael's local, there's a good chance that you've worked with him or you know him.
He was a past tech grant judge for us.
Okay. Yes.
So I met him.
I've worked with him for 20 something years in a lot of different, in some business ventures. And he's an accountant by trade.
Engineer.
That's right. You're right. He has a great handle on accounting. complex deals. He's been involved in business purchases and business, pretty good size business sales. He was basically John Lewis's financial guy for a long time, the entrepreneur here, John Lewis.
Yeah.
I've been in some businesses with him. He fixes stuff.
Is he our ED candidate?
He's a very...
Let me respond to that. Dave, no, he is not the permanent candidate. My opinion, the next ED of LCRDA and Innovation Park needs to be somebody that has a long track record and success in research parks. Michael is a turnaround guy.
And he doesn't like long commitments.
He doesn't like, nor does he want a long commitment. He wants to get in, assess it, analyze it, and bring back a solution. And again, because of my personal experience where I've seen him do this in the most complex real estate property project, I am highly confident in his ability. And I'm even more so because of his ability to do this inside the confine and the construct of another Leon County authority. I have not talked with him. I don't know what financial arrangement he has with the Leon County EFA. I have not asked that question. But I would suggest that we strongly consider negotiating something with him to be the interim. Okay, let me put a pin in this conversation. Going back to the longer view of the world and how we were created and where we need to head. A few months ago, I went up to Atlanta to visit Tech Square and everything that is part of the research park at Georgia Tech. Incidentally, Michael is a Georgia Tech graduate, so he's familiar with this. He was not involved in this at all. But as you will recall, we've had conversations in this room with Kevin Byrne and his team at the University Financing Foundation. Kevin told me that one of the challenges that he perceives that we face is the fact that our affiliation is with the county and not with the universities. His point is that the most successful research parks, their affiliation is with the universities. When we think about what we need from a marketing capacity and what we need in terms of being able to tell our story and what we need in terms of a governance structure, I would strongly suggest that this board considers at this moment in time, this moment in history, that we look at restructuring LCRDA in light of the more current structural tools that are established through Florida statutes, P3s, and affiliations with the institutions of higher learning in our community. And I don't know what that looks like in relationship to FAMU and FSU and TCC and Lively, but with all of the influence of higher education, there is no compelling reason that I am aware of that our affiliation remains with the county. The county does not pay into our operations, neither do we pay out to the county. The county was brought into this because that's how Florida statute set it up, and that was the tool that was available at the time. I just don't know that model provides additional value. And so what I'm interested in, and the reason why I wanted to be a part of this board, is not to build my personal resume and have another line item that says something else that I've done in the community. My interest is to bring this entity towards the ultimate goal for which it was originally established, which is research and economic development. I believe that in order to truly be effective, we need to consider this restructure. I think that this is the two parts of what I'm bringing forward, one solution with two parts. Part A, we need to look at somebody like Michael who can come in here, who can do the assessment and the analysis, distill it down, can look at the current structure and the operations, can work with the board to say, you have this, 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 and this, much like Bill, what you started on in terms of an org chart, but much more broadly scoped in terms of ultimately, if you want to focus on this as the end result, you need to begin with the end in mind. Here's what we need to do today in order to accomplish that goal. And Michael, as an independent individual, can come in here and speak that truth to our board. And I think that will be critically important. And I think, you know, Bill, you mentioned something last week that was essentially, and I'm not going to say this correctly, so please feel free to correct. But what I was understanding is you were more in favor of putting off the search process, redistributing the dollars that will be invested in that process in order to put a temporary solution in place where you would be the interim executive director. And I appreciate your desire to want to step into the gap, but I don't think that that gets us any closer to the finish line. Dave, you brought forward some information last week that was critically important. And when we look at our spending patterns and our financial patterns and where we would be 2 years from now and the drawdown on our reserves, if we punt at this moment and we do not implement the appropriate strategic initiative, we have a much larger challenge in front of us. And I don't say that lightly. So my proposal is that the board, the full board, I guess, to consider looking to negotiate with Michael Kramer in that interim role, and that we lean then on Michael and Bill to lead our staff forward as we are looking to what the ultimate correct structure for this organization to be. That's my piece. Thoughts?
I can say that I certainly appreciate the in-depth one thought that you've placed in this. I don't know Michael personally, but certainly based off of what you all have talked about and where we are, I would not be in opposition to consider that.
I think Bill needs to stay focused on the labs, you know, really.
And
whether, I mean, I think if we need to pay you more, I'm all for that. And I used the Titanic scenario the last time, but the Titanic scenario to me is that 2 years out and we're out of money.
Correct.
And I mean, out of money, committed to something that maybe we should or shouldn't have done. I don't know. We committed to it and we're there. And now I see a huge problem if we don't get a fix. And you know, I don't know how complicated it is to unwind something like this. I was involved when we sold all that property to FAM and FSU, and it was a lot of work. And it was a tremendous, every turn we had another obstacle. if I'm remembering correctly. And I'm sure that's the same with unwinding this, but I do believe that long term we got a financial problem that somebody's got to solve right now. And I'm not, I mean, I think Kramer's about as good a guy that I know in a situation like that. I know five or six different businesses that he came in and got fixed. But he turned them from high growth and no profits to one in particular to less growth and really, really profitable. I mean, he knows how to fix things. But
Dave, any thoughts?
Well, yeah, I do have a few thoughts. First, I want to compliment Bill for putting a plan on the table. I don't think we asked him to do that, but he stepped forward using his own initiative to give us something to debate on and to think about. And initially, I thought that was a very good plan. I think what you have offered as our chair, though, is probably more in what we need to have right now. I like the fact that Tom has experience with him. I like the fact that you have experience with him. That's 50% of our executive committee already knows this guy and has worked with him in the past. I'm in favor of supporting the chair's thoughts on this, but I also in favor of us acknowledging Bill's role and us evaluating his compensation plan and doing more for him. He is an integral part to this, and I appreciate his initiatives and his willingness to step forward and offer solutions rather than sit back hearing what we need and then just moving with that direction. I like what Bill's doing, but I like the plan that you've offered, Chair, even more.
And just to add to it, Kramer may not want this. I mean, we need to, if we decide to do so, you know, he's got to buy in.
A
challenge.
Yeah, I don't know what his arrangement was with the EFA, and therefore I don't know what his arrangement might look like with us. But I do think that the complementary skill set, Bill, with you remaining highly focused on delivering the labs, we can't miss on that. And so to dilute that effort is a strategic mistake. One of the things that we're trying to bring forward is a business manager. Well, as we step through this, if Michael is interested and we can come to terms with him, at least a portion of that burden is offset. So I just think that this helps us step gracefully through what is a very difficult time for us to navigate.
And he punches a lot of tickets. I mean, he's got that EFA experience, which I'd forgotten about, but he does. He knows real estate really, really well. He is very good. I mean, he's got an MBA. He's really good with financials. I'd forgotten he's a civil engineer as well. He punches a lot of tickets for us. And he's
a COO of a couple different ventures. And so he has that operating experience. He understands business is about as well as anybody that I know.
And he'll streamline stuff as much as he possibly can. I mean, he always laughs and says he's really lazy and he doesn't like to work real hard. So I try to come up with ways that I don't have to work so much. I mean, he's not going to sit and do something that's stupid. If he can figure out, if he can spend 10 or 15 hours fixing it where it's easy.
Please.
So I agree with everything you've said. This is there are really two problems we're dealing with, and that is, you know, what's the long term, and as we've said, what's the short term. And you know, the short term starts on October 14th. We're a month away, and so and Bill's plan contemplates that problem. How do we deal with things starting on October 15th? And if I agree, Michael, I've met him, I've talked to him a few times. I don't know him well. I have no doubt he could step in here and do amazing things. The question I have is, if he could start on October 15th, would he be someone who could do the nuts and bolts? Not just, I'm sure he could do the nuts and bolts. Is that something he wants to do, is the nuts and bolts? The, you know, dealing with the day-to-day stuff that runs the gamuts from, you know, meeting with a prospect, you know, to lease space, because that stuff is still going to continue, even though in the long term, maybe that's not what we're doing. But in the short term, there's still a lot of nuts and bolts that have to happen. And what this plan that Bill has put together contemplates is, you know, how do you keep getting stuff done?
See, and I think, can I cut in? Or,
yeah, go ahead.
I think implementing part of that plan is the right thing to do now, which is outsource, get the outsourcing up. I mean, you know, Talcor gets a hit every time you lease a space, don't they?
Talcor? No.
They don't? They're not.
Gets a hit. What do you mean?
Do they get a commission on leases?
No, they don't do leasing.
Okay. Figured they did. Why wouldn't we let them do leases? Why wouldn't we let them show property? Why wouldn't we let them advertise their space? Talcor lookalike.
They had it in, I believe they had it in their initial contract before I started, and it was the board elected to take it out. It wasn't effective. It's not there because we're not a typical real estate, commercial real estate operation. It just was not effective. I'm not saying don't do it. I actually hired them to do the Johnson building one time. Got nothing. So it just, but, you know, I think that's a different question. But
well, yeah, I'm liking your outsourcing model as much as we possibly can.
And the outsourcing gives us a lot of flexibility for the permanent solution. You know, we're not committed to an employee, you know, in the long term. So, I think Bill's plan in the short term is a good one to do. As you said, let's outsource what we can. It gives us time to keep that going. I can still have minimal involvement if you want it. But in the more near term fix solution that you're proposing, I think makes a lot of sense to have him come in, take a look at it.
So, and to that point, I think Michael's the kind of guy that would come in, Bill, he'd look at your outsourcing model and he would spend his own time understanding how we operate, what we do, where we create value, where we maybe get bogged down in things that we could do better, you know, whatever it might be. And so he would be the guy that would look to your model to say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and tackle this, and this, and we're going to work on getting this part outsourced. But he would stand in the step. He would be the executive director during that interim period with absolutely zero interest in being the long-term solution.
And so what you said, I agree. I said it from the beginning. I don't think Bill should be distracted by the day-to-day stuff that happens. And if there's another option, absolutely get him out of that. And I think he would agree.
I approach this with a problem and solution and my best judgment based upon, if not doing it is not an option, how do we get it done beginning October 14th? I do not want to be the executive director. This is what I want to do. So my approach was making sure it got done. And again, my best judgment about how to execute without failing on that date. If there's a better plan, I'm all for a better plan.
So I think we all agree that we've got to do something and have a plan that starts today. And I know Dave brought this up. What's the action plan? And I think what I'm hearing is it may be to start with what does Michael Kramer want to do, and what's he able to do? Is he an option? And If I can finish, yeah. if he's not an option, what's the next option?
So, with the restating that I haven't had any conversations about him about what the relationship would look like, my sense is that this is what he likes to do, and this is something that he will desire to do. But until we get to that level of conversation, I'm not going to overrepresent Michael in terms of what he's thinking. So, yes, sir, Dave.
Mr. Chair, I'm prepared to make a motion if you're ready to accept one.
Please.
I would offer a motion that the chair be authorized to contact Michael Kramer to determine his interest and what his expectations would be. And at the same time, we also give consideration to modifying the compensation plan for Bill. I think both of those are very important at this time. That's my motion, sir.
Can I maybe add a bit to that, Dave, or for your consideration?
So hang on, in terms of order, do we need to a second on the motion before we
amend it?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been properly moved and seconded. Is there discussion?
I'd like to add, without Michael Kramer's agreement or working something out to implement Bill's plan.
Okay, so the motion then, Dave, if you will accept the amendment, would be that I'm authorized to start conversation with Michael to understand his expectations. And if, in fact, he's not interested, then we move to implement the plan that Bill has started to outline. Is that correct?
I'm accepting that amendment.
Do you second that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the motion as amended is properly moved and seconded. Is there other discussion?
I would just add a comment that because he's working with a public entity, we might be able to research and find out what is being paid by that entity by virtue of government and sunshine, as that may or may not be helpful for you.
And thank you. And you're absolutely correct. I think that we can certainly find that information through any type of open records request for you. He'll probably just give it to us.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and ultimately, that's what matters, is not what he's making, but what he's willing to work for, especially if we're not out doing a competitive search. And that, I think that would be, you know, another consideration is if this is an employment relationship, you know, we didn't follow policy in doing a search, even for an interim. If it's a contract relationship, we didn't do a procurement. So
I would say that this would fall under the emergency.
Me too. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Talk to counsel. She has a different view of what an emergency is.
I'll show her the financials and I'll tell you it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Well, respectfully, I did talk to counsel.
Okay, good.
And I made my case for this an emergency. Yeah.
And going back to our prior conversation with counsel about the procurement process, the board has ultimate authority to determine what policies it can waive.
Mm-hmm.
It can waive whatever. Absolutely. As long as it's not in violation of statute, they can waive policy. And she has effectively ignored that directive from the board in the process with Opus. So I'm just saying that the board has the authority. They just need to assert the authority to
agree,
to decide, you know, how to do these procurements.
Well, and part of that conversation, to what Tom just mentioned and today, what you brought forward last week, the financial aspect is puts a spotlight on what the emergency is. We do not, in my opinion, we do not have an opportunity to miss at this point. We do not have an opportunity to delay at this point. I do think that we need to allow Opus to do what Opus is supposed to do. And I believe that they will be capable in that respect, but we need a good interim and immediate solution. Well, all right, so the motion's been made. It's been seconded. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That's unanimous. Okay.
Kim, do you have a sense of how quickly you can meet with Michael? And
I'll talk to him today.
Okay, good. Because that's one thing is that we do have, there's an urgency here. We're down to about 4 weeks.
Okay.
And then not just in settling Bill's situation, but also in settling my situation, I need to know what your needs are going to be after the 14th. And there are decisions that I have to make about how to continue. One of the things we didn't really talk about was in my situation, the fact that I would continue to be an employee, a part-time employee versus a contractor. And I know, Dave, there's probably some desire to look at that, to be a contractor, but I think I've said this before, the IRS does not look fondly upon someone receiving a W-2 and a 1099 in the same year from the same organization. They audited us on that before when I started. And so it's just something we need to consider because I have decisions I have to make about, future planning. And I'd appreciate, getting to that conclusion as quickly as we can.
Sure.
Yeah, I would. I think Michael's a great candidate, and I'm familiar having given the Pike House a little money with how entangled all of that has been for such a long time. And making sure that Ron continues as an asset for this organization, I view as a critical success factor. For the organization and for Michael's interim time frame. The other thing that we need to consider is the signature authority with respect to the contracts that we currently have, because Ron is the signature authority. We're going to do our first reimbursement with the EDA on or around Ron's departure time. And so we just need to make sure that in this transition, we don't get caught up in our own transitional red tape, which is the wrong analogy.
So to that point, when is the next full board?
22nd.
No, that's the committee. The executive committee's.
Oh, October's on like
four. No, October 5th or 6th, first week.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think what I'd like, my sense is that's a decision that needs to be probably made at the executive committee and ratified by the full board. So I will entertain a motion for did you want to say, okay.
Oh, no.
Let me think of how to say this. If we don't have a different interim executive director solution in place prior to Ron's departure, that Bill would be the acting interim for signature authority while we are in that, whatever the interim process looks like. I mean, until we have, you can't say a permanent interim, but until we have somebody in that interim role or until the final executive director is identified, we are going to need to rely on Bill with the signature authority that otherwise is currently Ron's.
Is it single signature with those documents, or is it two? How does that work? Because I know in some instances with boards, they've had to do the chair and the interim just as a...
So it depends on what you're talking about.
Okay.
So on contracts, it's up to a certain dollar amount. Mm-hmm. Anything over, I believe it's $10,000 requires a chair signature. And then in same with the bank accounts, except in the case of in the bank accounts, the checks can be signed by the executive director for anything 10,000 or less. Anything 10,000 or more requires two signatures of the board, the chair and either the vice chair or the treasurer. The however, we have implemented ACH transfers, which has dual controls between the executive director and Christy at Telcor. But it requires for Christy to receive an email independently, not through the executive director, but directly from two officers in much the same way. So we do have, I think, really good dual controls. You know, the main thing is just to make sure that Christy understands that she's not relying on the executive director to tell her what's okay. She's relying on the officers to tell her what's okay. And I think sometimes she may defer, so I think it's entirely appropriate to give Bill that the same authority as I have. And I think our controls are good enough to deal with those.
So do we need to, we have another executive committee meeting on September 22nd. Do we need for Ron and Bill to distill that down to a paragraph statement, bring it back to the executive committee on the 22nd? And that at the time that we would be able to move that as an action item of this board that would then go to, or this committee that would then go to the full board?
And I think, yes, I believe that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And Ron, is Kevin on the signature cards for checks and stuff?
Yes, so are you. And so is Dave.
So are we in an emergency? We've got.
Yeah, you can still handle that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
And you can still,
Dave, you're recognized.
Mr. Chair, I think that whole policy relative to financial needs to be reviewed and updated. If we're talking about hiring a business manager, what authority will a business manager have? How will that work? Who will prescribe to him or her? What is their direction? So I would ask that we give a full consideration of revamping that policy.
Can I suggest that wait until y'all get, if you get Mike Kramer in here or you get whoever in here, that be part of that process? I don't think this is,
so
there's not time to do that.
Yeah, so Dave, I love your suggestion. Ron, I absolutely agree with your thought on that. I don't want to lose track of it. So by request, I'm asking that Peggy keep this on the list of things, and it certainly is part of this conversation that we have this as a follow-up item.
Agreed.
In your view, is there a need to revise the contracts with the EDA and with the need for, attestation.
I brought this up with Asa Williams from the EDA when he was here, and I said, is there anything we need to do? He said, no. I think the submission, it just says, you know, there's a signature line, you sign it, you put your title down, but there's nothing there that says that has to change. I think the contract itself has already been signed, but there's no notice requirement or change of authority that he's aware of. So,
okay,
I think we're good. And the place we have a concern though is this $750,000 grant that's pending. We feel good about it. They did ask who's going to sign it, and I still have my name on there because we were hoping it would happen before I leave, but that may have to change if it doesn't. I think it's imminent. But it's that kind of stuff that's going to come up, and it's going to come up quickly. I think whatever we do, we need to have, your timing's right, get it on the executive committee for the 22nd, and then get it ratified by the board, because once you do that, then I can go and submit the documentation to the bank for the board resolutions and get those resolutions passed at the board meeting, which we need to do separately from the executive committee.
Thinking about it from Tom and my perspective, given the fact that there is a reasonable likelihood that we could be signing certain checks and documents and otherwise, our DNO policy extends not just to both of y'all, but to all of the directors, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Good question. I asked that a long time ago.
Okay. Good. Any other discussion on? Please.
I know we're out of time here, but I wanted to just follow up on something you brought up, which is the changing of the structure. And I wanted to point you out at one of the I think key elements. The restructuring we did to a large degree helped sort of sort out a lot of the ownership issues. But the charter, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at the documents I gave you, but the key element is the charter. The charter says that in the event that LCRDA is dissolved, that the assets, any remaining assets of the authority are divided between FSU and FAMU. You know, I think that's going to be a key question to address when you start looking forward. And I know that's not something that's going to be addressed by the 14th, but I agree that it's time, I think, to take a real serious look at that. I agree with everything you've said in terms of where the challenges are as a result of our structure. I don't know what the best answer is, and if a P3 is somehow makes sense, I think that's great. If you can bring some people in who know those things and can fix it, absolutely. So I just want you to know, my pride is not hurt by taking a look at doing things differently. I'm excited about it. You know, we got to where we are because of what we had to work with, but I think it is time to take a fresh look going forward.
And to be clear and on the record, going back to what we've talked about earlier, you in particular and this board were given a set of rules. The rules simply don't work for what we need to accomplish. If they work well, we wouldn't be having this conversation 42 years into our existence. Ron, you did a yeoman's job pulling us out of what was otherwise a financial crisis. We're at a point in time where, and it's a good point in time to be able to look forward now at the different set of tools and say there might be a way to accomplish new things.
And I wanted to share one more thing. I appreciate that, but I wanted to share one more thing, and I'm going to share the screen with Dave, because I was thinking about, you know, on our budgeting piece, there's a key part in here that's not in the budget. And it, mainly because there's a lot of uncertainty around, where'd it go? There's a lot of uncertainty around how it's going to get used.
And to some degree, when.
When, yeah.
Let me ask you, while you're looking for that, is this, we're obviously recording. It's probably important and appropriate that we follow back with the balance of the board and ask the board to come back and listen to today's conversation. That may help us when we get to the full board meeting for us not to have to retread a bunch of ground.
That's an idea, yeah.
So Ron, what I would ask is if you can put together a topside summary memo that explains the nature of what the conversation is, and then ask that that all of our board members, after they've read that memo, that they review the video or the audio or whatever we have recorded.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sir.
We've added a lot of moving parts to the conversation since we approved the budget before, or the budget committee approved it rather. I would perhaps ask that staff provide for us the additions or deletions to the budget that this conversation will be having or has had. And that gives us an opportunity to modify it before we present it to the board in October.
So in order for them to be able to do what you're asking effectively, I think I need to start a conversation with Michael Kramer to, number A, gauge his real interest, and number B, what would the financial impact be to the RDA to bring him on in that interim capacity? I don't know that they're that Ron and Bill are going to be able to put the analysis together without that information. Do you agree?
Well, I do agree, and all that's part of this conversation, but these things that we're talking about today will need to be shown as impact on our proposed budget as well.
Yes.
And Dave, in the PowerPoint that I sent y'all, it has a, the last page has a financial analysis, and it shows that it's pretty, Bill's plan is relatively budget neutral.
Because he's outsourcing what we would otherwise.
Yes, we did that intentionally. To try to just reallocate the resources we had in the budget to outsource. Now, yeah. if you do something with Michael Kramer, that's a whole different story. But as Kevin said, we don't have enough information yet on that.
And so part of your motion, Dave, was that that we take a look at Bill's compensation. Dave, do you want to work? You want to work with Ron on that?
I can work with Ron on that. As the budget chair or the treasurer, do we have a compensation committee somewhere in place already or what?
No, I mean, given the timing, I think that this is a role that the executive committee can serve. I think it's a matter, Dave, of you making a recommendation to the executive committee.
All right. I will be returning to Tallahassee on Monday. In the meantime, we can discuss by telephone options and recommendations.
Okay. Yeah. The only other thing I wanted to show real quick was the impact of the OEB MOU. Dave, are you seeing my spreadsheet?
Okay.
Are you able to see my spreadsheet?
Yes.
Okay. So if you recall, this was the summary sheet of the budget, current budget plus the next 2 years. The one thing that really wasn't in there was the OEB for the Dan Foss, or the MOU with OEB for the Dan Foss land. And we had the first payment in there, which is in the budget. It has to do with the renovations for Collins and Morgan. But we didn't really have a timing on the last 200 or 500 and whatever thousand dollars. So we have a $268,500 payment and a $268,000 payment due. And I just found out yesterday that Dan Foss is projecting that their facility will be completed about the same time as ours, the end of December, 1st of January, 2023-24. So December 2023, January 2024.
Okay.
Our agreement with OEB provides that we get that $268,000 500 payment upon the issuance of the certificate of occupancy. So we're going to be in that neighborhood, which is just in side of the 23-24 fiscal year. Now, I think I've mentioned this before, which is the MOU does not provide for us to be able to use that directly on the North Florida Innovation Labs construction. I think it should. And I think if we present that to Keith Bowers and he can get it through their council and or through IA, I think they should allow us to use that money for the Northwood Innovation Labs construction, particularly with the argument that we did get increased funding through FSU and through EDA, and that they did not increase their match. You know, I think this is a reasonable approach, and I don't think we'll get a big pushback from IA on that. And I would suggest that you go after both the entire remaining amount to be able to put towards the North Florida Innovation Labs.
And the entire remaining amount is about $500,000.
Yes.
Yeah, so the CO gets the second round, and the third round is
12 months after.
Okay.
So that's what I have here. So you're looking at December. Yeah. So if you include that, because we are taking the money for North Florida Innovation Lab out of our investments, and instead of using that money for that, it's basically staying in our account. So if you reflect that in here, it's a little different picture. It's still not great, but you know, we're looking at 1.1 million in reserves instead of what we had before, which is about $500,000-$600,000 in reserves. So it's there, but it's still sort of squishy as to, you know, what we can use it for. And because I think their intent has been to get us to spend it on other things. So incremental spending, not offsetting our current budget. But I think this is one way we could accomplish that. And all along, we tried to make the point, look, it was our land. Don't make us do other stuff to get value for our land.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I think that could help in the long-term picture. So maybe it looks a little less like the Titanic, maybe just a boat with a leak in it. So, okay.
Good. Yep. Are you going to forward us that document as well?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there any new business? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.